Please, yes, please.
Thank you. Simply
Tzvah.
All right, Rabbi Sai, a good night of Shabbos, a good Chodesh.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Steve, who are our sponsors for what?
Sponsors for this evening, Aryeh Stein. It's a sukkos for Shlema, for Davis Kreeve and Sarah Malka.
For Shlema. The
Solomon family, in honor of Mayor's birthday.
Happy birthday, Shreya.
Mayor, how old?
Happy birthday.
47, Amir Tzah Hashem. Amir Basim Shalom Tov. Chaim, Chaim.
And Jerry Applebaum, in honor of his son Jacob's upcoming wedding to Amber Chazan of Philadelphia this weekend.
Oh, Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov.
Good stuff.
Beautiful.
Jeremy for the kids.
Beautiful. All right, and of course, again, we thank our annual Talmud Torah sponsor, Tulsa Mishpacha Beretz Yisrael, for dedicating all the Shemir Drashos this year as a zechus for Besoros Tovos for all of Am Yisrael. And we have so much, to mamish, like, dedicate our learning for. We have, it's been like an overwhelming week for Klal Yisrael on so many different levels. Right, we went into Shabbos, you know, again, engaged in war. We came out of Shabbos with America partnering up with Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. And then over the course of the week, we saw a ceasefire. We saw the death of 7 precious soldiers. Oh, there's been so many ups and downs, so many peaks and valleys over the course of the week. And one can maybe say it's just a regular week for Klal Yisrael. Because that's Klal Yisrael's week is always like that. Peaks and valleys, simchas and saras, difficulties and beautiful times all kind of mixed together in one. But the most incredible part of all of it is, ubecholzos shimcha lo shachachnu. You know, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings, whatever the week brings, whether the week brings massive simcha, the week brings chas v'shalom lo alin rachman atzlan, massive tzara, whatever it is, our dveikus and our connection, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu always remains a constant and is unwavering. So we dedicate our learning, first of all, in the schus of Am Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see that it's time for more simchas than tzaras, that it's time for more wins than losses, that it is time for more laughter than tears. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should Emir Hashem bring home all of our hostages. Hashem should Emir Hashem allow our holy soldiers to be successful b'chol ma'asei yadayhem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should Emir Hashem shower shmir yisera upon our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. And halavai, you know, tonight is Rosh Chodesh. The excitement of Rosh Chodesh is always filled with untold possibilities, right? Every single new month opens up just the door to so much bracha, to so much simcha, to so much mazel, to so much hatzlacha. And every single new month brings with it so much shefa and so much overwhelming opportunity. And so, Amir Hashem, we hope that Amir Hashem, this month of Tammuz, although again, when we think of Tammuz, we often think about Shivasa B'Tammuz, the beginning of the 3 weeks, a mourning period for all that we have lost. But the truth is, just because Tammuz has been like that for the last 2,000 years, doesn't mean that this Tammuz has to be like that. That Halavai should be Zochem, Amir Hashem, that this should be a Tammuz of Simcha. That this should be a Tammuz, not when Shivasa B'Tammuz. Look, Shivasa B'Tammuz is going to come regardless, because it's the calendrical date. But it doesn't have to be a fast day. It could be that Shavuot B'Tammuz is a day when Emirat Hashem, we all go back to the Beis HaMikdash together. That Shavuot B'Tammuz is Emirat Hashem, a day of great simcha and great light for our people. It all depends, we'll say. It all depends on how we use our time. It all depends on how we use this new month. It all depends on how we use this opportunity. And we'll say, I just want to tell you, especially like on a night like tonight, where again, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting that, like, I think one of the big distinctions that, you know, between us here in America and our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, is for us, okay, so there was a ceasefire. So you think, this is a great ceasefire. Great, Baruch Hashem, right? It's over, it's great. But, you know, the difference between us and them is, okay, the ceasefire is a tremendous bracha, and halavai it should hold. But understand, like, for us, we didn't live through sleepless nights of sirens. Right? Do you understand what that does? Just like, you know, we measure collateral damage, unfortunately, like in loss of life. But imagine, like for 12 nights, you can't get uninterrupted sleep. I would say most of us, right, one night of not sleeping and we're a disaster, right? We're a disaster. We're cranky. We're grumpy. No one likes us. We don't like anyone, right? So just understand what that does to a person. Right, almost 2 weeks, 2 weeks of no nachas ruach, 2 weeks of constant upheaval, 2 weeks of like everything shut down, you can't move, you can't do, you can't this, because I say it's overwhelming, you know, we're 6,000 miles removed from it. So for us, like, you know, what do? We check the times of Israel before we go to sleep. right? Depending on how old you are and how many times you wake up over the course of the night, you know. So you go ahead and you check it when you get up in the middle of the night, right? And then you check it in the morning. You're like that, that's our. But the truth is, in between checking websites, I'm sleeping like a baby. It's just important to understand that our brothers and sisters in Israel, just they for 12 days, it wasn't shayach. It's just important for us to understand. It's important for us to feel it a little bit. I will say the reason why it's also important is because if we do enjoy some of just the tranquility that right now our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, hopefully they'll have it. It's been restored. Hopefully they'll have it again. But it's important for us that if we have that tranquility, it behooves us to do more and to be more. Right? I will say, what's our excuse for underperformance? Slept last night, slept the night before, I've been fine. I'm not running anywhere. Right? Literally, I don't have to run anywhere. I don't have to run for cover. I don't have to run for security. I don't have to worry about that when I'm going out to 7 Mile Market. You know, is there going to be a siren? I have to figure out where I have to. We don't have that. So I'll say, if we don't have that, you see, the way it works in Klal Yisrael is everyone has a different job. So the Jews of Eretz Yisrael have a job and the Jews of the diaspora have a job. So if the Jews of Eretz Yisrael are under threat and their tranquility has been disrupted, then the Jews of Chutz La'aretz, whose tranquility is intact, have an obligation to do more. I have an obligation to do more. I have an obligation not just to make it to Minyan, but to get to Minyan early. I have an obligation not just to learn, but to learn more. I have an obligation not just to give tzedakah, but to push myself to my limits. Everything that we do during this period, because we enjoy the tranquility of life, we have to do it more. We have to do it plus. To first of all give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we are enjoying relative tranquility in life. So let's do something with the tranquility. Let's do something with the peace of mind. It's not just enough to shluff like a baby. Shluff like a baby, but just making sure you're getting up early the next morning and you're firing on all cylinders, maximizing your morning, maximizing your day. If I have the tranquility, use it to do more and to be more. People say it's Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. It's a brand new month. My Dehava Hava, what was. And what this month will be and what this month will become and what tidings it holds for Klal Yisrael is fundamentally dependent on how we use it. So we should be zochim, again, it's summertime, so we're going to go on vacation. And again, we should relax, we should enjoy. But even if you're on vacation, you can still be firing on all cylinders. And even if you're scaling back a little bit in certain things, you could still be firing on all cylinders. My davening could be on fire. My learning could be on fire. My chesed could be on fire. My midos could be on fire. If Eretz Yisrael is on fire, which it was for 12 days, then we have to be as Yidden on fire as well. And if we could just bring that to Chodesh Tammuz, we'll say. Month of Tammuz is a holy month. Like Rabbi Nachman says, wherever you see destruction, that's where there is also the greatest koach for rebuilding. So if the haschol, if the beginning of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash began in Chodesh Tammuz, that means that the beginning of the rebuilding could occur during this month as well. So it should be Zohar HaMir HaShem to maximize the month, to utilize the month, to fire on all cylinders. And HaLevai Bo, we should be Zohar to a month of Nisim V'Niflaos B'Karuf. Amen. We'll say, let us begin. We are picking up Emirat Hashem at the bottom of page Beis. So we'll say, I think, again, for those who are interested in buying the Sefer, again, it's Kedai. It's Kedai to have your own Sefer. This is good. It should be yours. It should be part of your library. Don't content yourself with Xerox copies, right? No one goes to the library. Actually, I don't know if anyone goes to the library. No one goes to the library, stands by the copy machine, and copies, right? You need a safer in your hand. A Yid has a safer. A Yid without a safer is like walking out without a pants in the morning. Although for some people, whatever, So you can't walk around without pants. So a Yid needs a safer. So we'll say, so again, there are still some left. If you'd like, you could post on the chat as well. Eliyahu Ram and Far found them. If you've got a safe already, you could just Zell Eliyahu directly. I don't know what the information is, but I guess we'll track it down. But okay, we'll say, so we're continuing about it. I'm sorry? Yeah. They're I think they're somewhere in the building. They might actually be in the office. Eliyahu Ram and Far. I'll post the information on the chat. All right, so we'll say we are picking up on the bottom of page Beis. So the Rebbe, again, remember, again, just to orient ourselves a little bit, is the Rebbe spoke about the idea, one of my favorite lines, that that in the Rebbe's writings that we've seen actually mentioned in a number of different Sfarim, where the Rebbe writes that the avoda of a Jew is b'chol yom tzarech lios ha'ish, tzarech ha'ish lios Yehudi. The goal ultimately, again, you know what, Mayor, do me a favor, I'm getting old. Can you just turn off the light? I can't. I can see. I'm sorry, Faber, I'm sorry. I'm ruining the vibe, but I can't see. So we can go for... I'm sorry. I know we know that. And shout out to Jeremy Lassen for the beautiful tea lights. Shkoyach, shkoyach. And a thank you. Who did food tonight? Steve, who did food tonight? Rabbi Yaakov? Yaakov Bornstein, Israel Blumen. And what? And you want to sing? No?
Do nothing.
It's V. Okay, so again, Rabbi Zvi, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Sobel, say thank you again very much for the beautiful, beautiful spread. So we'll say, so the Rebbe said one of the best lines is, you know, the Rebbe says that what's the avoda of the Jew? The avoda of the Jew is Tzarech Ha'ish Lihios Yehudi B'chol Yom. You have to be a Jew. The job of a Jew is to be a Jew. And what does a Jew do? What does it mean to be a Jew? What does a Jew do? A Jew runs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what a Yid does. I run to Hashem. I don't want to be an Eved. I want to be a Ben. I don't want to be a servant. I want to be a son. And the whole Avoda over here says that is to become a Chassid, to become ultimately who's on fire. So we're picking up on page Beis, and we're picking up four lines up from the bottom. V'chol ma'asinu b'nefesh tiyena. I'll say this is a very profound piece. V'chol ma'asinu b'nefesh tiyena ad shegam machshavteinu tamid tihei bara. I'll say this is incredible. The avod of Yid is to have constant clarity of thought. Constant clarity of thought. Now, what does this mean? Chazok okshur b'kdushasa. Clarity of thought, where my thoughts themselves are constantly tethered to the Ribono Shel Olam. V'azgam niske shekol kach tuchal nafsheni lehiskabra al chushenu. Listen to this, Rabbi Yosef. This is really incredible. The goal over here is that my neshama should go ahead and overtake and overcome my senses. What the Rebbe is going to highlight over here, Rabbi Yosef, is that there are two ways in which we perceive the world. Or I should say differently, there are two mediums through which we perceive the world. The Rebbe actually spoke about this in Menei Machshava Tova and Savazeres also. I could perceive the world through my senses, right? Through what I see, right? Through what I hear, through what I taste, through what I smell, through what I observe. Or a person could observe the world through their neshama. And says the Rebbe, the avoda of the Yid is to allow the neshama to overcome the senses. And you'll see why that is in just a moment. He says, "Shalot dai lizkabra al chushenu." The goal ultimately is that my nefesh, my neshama, should overcome my senses. Shalot dai shalot yuchlu chushenu lebalbel ufatos es machshavtenu. It's not enough that the senses shouldn't corrupt or shouldn't derail my thoughts. Velomar lonu olam ataroa v'geshem atamargish. See, Rabbi Yosef, what's the problem with the senses? The senses see something, and they assume that if you could see it, then what you see is reality. But what does the neshama say? The neshama says, no. Reality is very only partially defined by what you see. There are so many other dimensions of reality that exist. I will say, give you like the good example of this. It's a striking example. The famous story, one of the most stirring stories, I guess everything is like a stirring story, but one of the most stirring stories in Shas and Medrash. It's brought down two places, one the Gemara and the other is Medrash Shir HaShirim. It tells the story of Elisha ben Avuya, Acher. And Elisha ben Avuya was one of the great ranking sages of Klal Yisrael. And ultimately, again, he leaves the fold. And he doesn't just leave the fold, but like he leaves with like vitriol, like negativity, like anger. And so Chazal tried to understand, although they don't ask it explicitly, like, Elisha ben Avuya, like, what happened to you? So there's different versions. But in the Medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabba, it says like this, the famous story, Elisha ben Avuya was sitting in a place called Ginosar. Now, Ginosar, by the way, there is still a Ginosar today. Again, it's right by the, it's on the Kinneret. Like, if you drive. Yeah, now, again, I don't know if Ginosar today is the same Ginosar back then, but for our purposes of the story, it is. So Ginosar, now it's interesting. The Gemara Maseches Brachos discusses Ginosar. Well, right, what is it? Peros Ginosar. Right? It's the Sugim Maseches Brachos of Iker V'Tof, right? You would sweat sweetness. It would make you. So the Gemara says, the Gemara actually discusses the fruit of ginosa were so sweet that you couldn't eat them alone. You had to eat them with like a piece of bread. So the Gemara has a shayla. Do you have to make hamotzi? So the Gemara goes, "Ikra v'tafel." So I reflect the Gemara. Why are the fruits of ginosa so sweet? What does the Gemara answer? Because ginosar is opposite one of the entrance ways of Gan Eden. And that's why the fruits were so incredibly sweet. Right? Beautiful, right? Beautiful. So the story is told that one time Elisha ben Avuya is sitting in ginosar, and he's doing whatever, and he sees a father and a son. And the father tells the son, do me a favor. There's some fruit on the tree over there. Go up and get the fruit, but be careful. There's a bird's nest. Also bring down the chicks, but send away the mother bird. Okay, the son, actually I'm sorry, there's a first part of the story. The first part of the story is a guy goes up on the tree, right? He takes the chicks without sending away the mother bird, and he comes back down, fine. Then the father tells the son, go and get the chicks. The son goes up, he shoos away the mother bird, and as he's coming down, he falls down and he dies. And Elisha ben Avuya sees this. So Elisha ben Avuya sees the guy who committed an Avera come down the tree unscathed, and yet the boy, who was doing two things, number one, Kibbut Ava'im and Shiluach HaKan, sending away the mother bird. Both of those mitzvahs carry with them longevity. And Elisha ben Avuya sees this unfold right in front of his eyes, and he says one simple phrase. He says, less din, v'less dayon. There is no justice, and there is no judge. Elisha ben Avuya sees tzadik v'ralo rasha v'tolro. He sees the wicked prosper and the wicked suffer. And this leads Elisha ben Avuya to his reality of there's no God. There's no God. So I will say, now, what was Elisha ben Avuya basing that statement on? What was he basing it on? What he saw. His eyes. Right? He saw something, and he allowed what he saw to define the totality of his reality. Meanwhile, had Elisha ben Avuya taken a step back, and as traumatic as this was, who knows what additional layers to the story there were, right? Who knows who this boy was? Who knows what the father was? Who knows? Maybe it was a Gilgal. Who knows what the whole story was? And therefore, says the Piagetzna, you have to be so careful with defining your reality simply by your senses, because senses are one-dimensional. What can you see in life? What can you see? What's right in front of you. Right, what can you hear? What's right now? Right, what can you taste? What's going into? So again, senses are very one-dimensional. The neshama understands that the events of this world are multi-dimensional. So the shaila in life is, what do you use? Which prism do you use to define your reality? Do you allow your senses? Or ultimately, again, do you allow your neshama? So that
is like intellect versus faith?
Intellect versus faith.
Knowledge versus faith.
Yeah, it could be. That might be a different way to frame it. Yeah, it could be. I happen to think that this is even more pashut, right? Because even if you don't have intellect, everybody has senses, right? And the truth is, the senses are the most basic way that we create our realities, right? I see something, I create a construct around that. I smell something, I hear something, I create these constructs. So the Rebbe says, the entire avoda of life is to allow the neshama to define your reality and not your senses. Not your senses. So the Rebbe says, not only should I not, right? Rakas Husheinu, top of Gimel, Rakam Husheinu, top of Gimel, Yekanu Lemachsheves Levavenu. And the goal over here is to really sublimate the senses to the soul. Well, say, isn't this incredible? Sublimate the senses to the soul. That's the avoda, right? My neshama should define my reality and not my senses. The guy, what happens? I just want to point out, just so you understand that this is not like a pie in the sky nice idea. This is necessary for survival. I'll tell you how. Just one other example of this, and we'll move on. We'll say, a person commits an avera, right? Anyone here commit an avera today?
Just me.
Right, I guess, okay. Do we have Muslim? We have Muslim in Avera. Right? Sure. Anyone commit like a doozy today?
Doozy?
I don't know. Yeah, doozy. Right? Right? Oh, come on. Stop lying to yourself.
Double
murder? Right? No double murders. But I'm saying, but like not capital crimes. Let's say, again, all of us have committed Averas today, right? A lot of Averas today. So let's say, if you think about it for a moment, imagine you look at yourself through your senses. So assuming that this was a typical Thursday, which means it was filled hopefully with a lot of mitzvahs, but was also probably filled with a lot of averus. Bepashtos. So imagine for a moment you look at yourself through your senses. What's the conclusion you will come to about yourself? What's the conclusion?
I'm a failure.
I'm such a failure. People say, do you know why? Let me ask you something. Anyone here commit a brand new avera, a novel avera that you never did before today? Right? No, I know you didn't do it, right? Listen, the incredible part is, it's not like anyone could say, you know what, look, today, I want to just tell you something. I committed an avera like no one's, like I never even thought of this avera, right? I'm just like that. Generally, that doesn't happen. But I can tell you what I did do today, is I committed a lot of the same averas that I committed on the day before, on Wednesday, and on Tuesday, and last year, and 5 years ago, and for some of us, 30 years ago, and 40 years ago. So if I look at myself through my senses, there's only one reality, which is, I'm a failure. It's pathetic. I can't get my act together. This is absolutely ridiculous. Am I so spiritually spineless that I can't even... spiritually spineless. I like the alliteration. Am I so severely spiritually spineless? Right? Significantly severely spiritually spineless. That literally like, really like, what's the matter with? People say, no one ever had a moment like this where you just think to yourself, like, I feel pathetic. I feel pathetic. How do I not exercise some basic level of self-control? What is the matter with me? It's the same averus every day, right? It's the same averus. I'm here, I'm there. It's the same averus. And even if I'm good for a day or two, it's just a matter of time until I fall off the wagon. And it's depressing. And it's defeating. And I'm going to say, if you look at yourself through your senses, the only conclusion is, I'm an abysmal failure. But if I look at myself through my neshama, what I recognize is, okay, I've got some significant issues and challenges. I've got a mountain to climb, but I'm not a failure. I'm an image of God. I'm a nitzotz Elokim. I have a neshama. I'm special. I'm holy. I have something significant about me. So people say, hear the difference? If you look at yourself through your senses, there's only one reality you could come to, which is, I'm a failure. If I look at myself through my neshama, I am so ridiculously powerful, but I have a lot of work to do. So the Rebbe says over here, we have to be so careful to avoid defining ourselves and our lives through our senses, and instead looking at ourselves and our lives through our neshama. So the Rebbe says something amazing. He says, when you look at yourself and your life through your neshama, first of all, something incredible happens, which is, when you look at the world through the neshama and not the senses, something amazing happens, which is, you see God everywhere. See God everywhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. V'yeda v'yira ha'adam asher gam ba'olam hazen nimtza hu began Hashem be'eden lifnei kisei kevodo yisparach. Not only that, but ultimately again, I'll see myself, I'll say, listen to this. When I see life through the neshama, then at the end of the day, what I'm also able to feel is a sense of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As close as Adam HaRishon felt in Gan Eden. Rabbi say, isn't that incredible? By the way, I just want to point out how overwhelming it is that we started the day with Adam HaRishon in Daf Yomi, right? And then on the same day, what's the chances, right? Because to get through a sefer of the Piaget, that takes us almost like a cycle of Shas, right? So the Mice again, what are the chances, an entire cycle of Shas, that we get Adam HaRishon in the morning and Piaget and Adam HaRishon in the evening? So Rabbi say, when you look at life, you look at yourself through the neshama, the connection to Hashem, I feel a sense of closeness as if I'm standing before Hashem in Gan Eden. This is what life becomes. The Kamaniska Lavod Shlema Kazu. So this is what I want. See, what's very helpful, by the way, about the way the Rebbe frames this sefer is it's really a game plan. Right? What's the goal? The goal ultimately is like, the overarching goal. What's the overarching goal? What's the overarging goal? To what? to become a chassid, right? That's the overarching goal, right? To become a chassid. That's our overarching goal. But in that, there are certain intermediate goals along the way. Now I begin to understand the intermediate goal is I want to perceive myself and life through the soul, not through the senses. So now that Abba says, okay, so how do I do that? He says, Ubameh niske la'avoda shlemo kazo. So we'll say, so ultimately, I want to tell you something amazing. You know, generally, on Shabbos morning, I'll tell you where you could see this. Shabbos morning, usually, I like to, like, just go around the shul, just like in the morning, by davening, not for Kiddush, but Baruch Shem, there's so much going on. So usually, I take a few minutes out of shul, by Chazaras HaShatz and Shachris, and I stop in the junior congregation, Teen Minyan, all the groups, just to say good Shabbos. They're still having Kiddush for Ashkama. I say Shalom Aleichem to them also. Hey, and what's incredible is, I came into junior congregation. What do they don't call juniors? What do they call them now? Taras Chaim Juniors. So, okay, and the boys are davening. It's beautiful. So I walk in, and one of the boys was like, Rabbi, what happens if you eat a half a kizayis of chazer on Yom Kippur? I was like, what? And he's like, and so, what was just so beautiful about it was the sheer excitement of the question. I don't know, his Rebbe must have been learning something in Yeshiva, whatever. He just came and it was caught me totally off guard. Totally off guard, right? For me, it's more like a cameo appearance. I'm like, you know, like I come in, I wait, I say Shalom Aleichem, right? Well, wasn't really expecting, you know, half a gazai, chazer. I will say, but you understand where that comes from? See, children view the world through their neshama. They don't really view it through their senses. Because they're not cynical, they're not jaded, they haven't suffered really defeat or setback or things like that. So the natural default is to see life through your neshama. And that's what you'll see it. Sometimes you'll see kids and they have like this, you know, Shavuos Day. This was incredible, Shavuos Day. So this is Rabbi Eli Rutstein who runs this group. The boys, it was a surprise. They made a siyum on Pirkei Avos on the second day Shavuos at the Kiddush. We never did this before. Generally, you can't get quiet for anything at the Kiddush, right? Do not get between Jews and their Kiddush. But we went ahead and we got everybody quiet, and a group of boys went ahead and were Mesayim Meseches Avos together at the Kiddush on Shavuos morning. It was incredible. Children have this natural disposition to be able to see the world through the neshama. But it's as we get older and we get more cynical and we get more jaded and we think we know everything. So therefore, again, we judge the world based on what we see. And if I see it, that's the MS. But the Rebbe says it's not. What you see is not the truth. It's what you see. Now, I should say differently. It's not what you see through your eyes that determines your truth. It's what you see through your soul that determines your MS. So now the Rebbe says, "Baman niske, but how do we get there? So how do we do this? Well, man, niske lavod shlima kazu. So how do we get to this level of being able to see through the soul? Imla mitzars ekvanevim hamikubalim v'tzadikei chasidei nishaf lahagir. So maybe okay. So part of it is let's walk in the footsteps of the prophets, walk in the footsteps of the mikubalim, walk in the footsteps of the tzadikim, the chasidim. Again, so the good news is we're not reinventing the wheel. There are people before us who have seen the world through their soul. So let's figure out what they did, right? Let's figure out what the process was for them and follow in their footsteps. Tzi'ilach be'ikve atzon. Our Shlomo Melech says, right, follow in the footsteps of the sheep. The sheep referred to the tzaddikim of yesteryear. See what makes great people great and follow in that same model. I'll call upon them as ikve kachsham nira be'avak darkom. Because I will say, sometimes, you know, I want to tell you, this is also, Matt and I discussed this, another project we're going to start up is we're starting a book club. And Emirat Hashem, it's going to be biographies of tzaddikim. We're going to choose one biography a month of a tzaddik. Everyone's going to read, and yes, you have to read. I don't know, no one has time to read books anymore, but we're going to choose. Matt's going to run this. Emirat Hashem. Shkoyach, mazel tov on your new position. Mazel tov. Because reading biographies of tzaddikim is so important. Because the goal in life is figure out what the special sauce is, right? Like, in other words, what is it that great people aren't born great? Great people make themselves great. And when we figure out, like, what the secret is, what their footsteps are, then, again, I can't follow the same exact model, but I can learn a lot. I don't have to reinvent the wheel. The Rebbe goes on, he says, Me'atalina ladas, mahu ekev kola kodesh hazeh, umayach shara sheris kasher bahabachar, va'avrech hashoif umishtokik liskos lios chasiv. And the Rebbe says, now I know what ultimately, again, I need to do. And what I need to do, the first step in becoming a chassid, the first step, is seeing with the soul and stop solely seeing through the senses. But the Rebbe says, we need a game plan. We need a game plan. We need to figure out what to do. And the Rebbe says, we'll just read one more line and then we'll stop. Because this is really beautiful. He says, Hine reishis his galus b'kod she'el, haisa nafsha b'Yisraelis. You know, the first item of Kiddusha in this universe, besides Kodesh Baruch Hu, was the Yiddish Neshama, the Jewish soul. Chelek eloka mima'al asher b'kirbam. Like the same lesson of the Baal HaTanya. What's a soul? A soul itself is literally a spark of the Ribono Shel Olam. Niskal elohem. V'az b'nafshem ha'galuya hochshur le'asos merkava le'iskal sa'gdola v'aniskal asher zochel l'bekad sham. So this is very important. And with this, we're going to stop for tonight. But I'm going to leave you a little bit on a cliffhanger. The Neshama, right? So the whole thing is, like, I want to see through my Neshama and not just like, can you imagine getting to that level where you see through your neshama? How different life is, how different setbacks and failures look when you're looking through your neshama, how different adversity and difficulty and challenge look when you're seeing through your neshama. So Rebbe says it's important to understand that the neshama is a powerful thing because the neshama itself is a spark, is a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And look what the Rebbe says. Ubakdom Hashar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vital, calls over Chaim Vital, something amazing. Zatzal Isa, Sheyesh Shenafsho Atzma, so we'll say, I'm going to leave you with this idea. The Rebbe says, you want to understand the power of the Neshama? The power of the Neshama is, the Neshama will take you exactly where you need to go. But you need to get out of its way. So I will say, the most incredible Yisod is, we think that like there's some greater, deeper challenge in understanding to how do I find the secret to successful living? How do I find the path to righteousness? How do I discover the right derech? You don't have to discover it. You have a neshama. And my neshama will take me exactly where I need to go. What's the problem in life? The problem in life is so often I'm throwing up roadblocks. I'm throwing up obstacles, right? And therefore, again, I'm preventing the neshama from leading the way. But if I could just get out of my own way, if I could just get out of the neshama's way, then I'll say, what happens? The neshama leads me where I need to get to. And ultimately, again, I begin to see through the soul and not to see through the senses. Now, how I go ahead and ultimately again get out of the neshama's way and how I begin to see through the soul in Meretz Hashem, coming attractions. Yeah. Yes or not? Yes. We're not finished yet. Yeah. Question.
If you see through the soul and not your eyes, let's just say, does that mean that you would never have to say Dam Chasvus anymore because you're not relying on what your eyes
No,
see?
So what I would say is what we're really going to come out with is you can't only see through the soul. In other words, obviously, Hashem Baruch Hu gave us senses. So the senses play a role as well. See, when the Rebbe says, see through the soul, not the senses, he doesn't mean soul to the exclusion of the senses. So there's going to be this harmony. There's got to be this balance. But what it is, but it's why you brought this up, because Dan Lekav Schus is a perfect example. Dan Lekav Schus, giving someone the benefit of the doubt, only makes sense if you see through the soul. Right, because if all you're seeing is through your senses, why should I give you the benefit of the doubt? I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. My eyes telling you, so what benefit of the doubt means? No, because what I see may not be fully true. That's a perfect example. That synergistic partnership between soul and senses, and Eretz Hashem will see. I will say, there is no shir next week. I hope to be in Eretz Yisrael. And possibly the following week also, if I could convince my wife to stay longer. Right? But again, but we'll see that. But so stay tuned. But no shir next week for sure. And Eretz Hashem, stay tuned for the final. I will say, Shkoyach Mayriv now in the main shul.
Couple housekeeping rules. People can help staying clean up, and we also need to help.